Good morning, everyone. We love you from the depths of our hearts, and we really do. This is a great time we've been having over the last couple of days, and I believe today is going to be very special. Tonight, we're believing God for some incredible things. This is a church of faith. I believe that the name of this church is how it started, and the plan of God was for this to always be a place of miracles, and God wants to do something special in a season of miracles. We began to share on Friday night that I personally really believe that we are in a season now that we're moving to in Canada that's going to bring breakthrough to the nation and cause people to come to righteousness. The only thing that's going to change the world is when people see the miraculous of God. I had a pastor that just called me the other day and said he had a very difficult funeral to take. A doctor had passed away. He was in his 70s. His wife was in the church, a born-again believer, but he was not. And this pastor was asked to take the funeral, and he said it was very, very difficult because he said before the man passed away, he went in for a week to visit him. And every day he went in to talk to him about the love of Jesus and that Jesus died on the cross, came to redeem him, showed him the love of God in every way that he could. And every day he would reject it. He even came to the place on the last day after that week, he said, I just can't understand that and receive it because there's no proof. That's hard for us to understand that because we know there's so much proof when we see one another and all that God is doing. Nevertheless, in Canada, there's been a lot of rejection of the things of Jesus. Around this area, there's been a lot of rejection. But God has been building in his church and preparing us day by day, step by step, for what we're about to see, because God's not going to be the loser in this whole situation. This nation is coming to the Lord, and things are about to happen that we've never dreamed before. But we must learn it first in our lives and in the church, and believe that the church needs to prosper with the miraculous. In the early days of the church, the miraculous took place all the time. If they didn't have a service with the miraculous in it, it wasn't a service. These are important things for us to understand. It should become very commonplace. And I feel like after this weekend that it's going to be very commonplace in this assembly. That you're going to hear reports continually all the time of the miracle power of God. But it really doesn't happen unless we believe God and what God says to us. So it was after Easter Sunday last week that I really felt the Holy Spirit spoke to me about this particular spring convention that I always look forward to. There's been times in my life too, if I'm not coming to speak, I've just come to be a part of this. Because I believe in what the Lord is doing here. And this spring convention is prepared of the Lord so that we would see breakthrough. And in that, I felt the Lord spoke to me about bringing these cards and having you fill them out to believe for three miracles in your life. Now, this is important, everybody. I want to say to you, this is extremely important. Because God wants us to know that it's by faith. And he puts it into our spirit, the things that he wants to do. He always reveals his purpose to man and women. He causes us to know what he wants. So your miracles are important to me. And my miracles are important to you. And when the church understands that God always wants to bring miracles, things are going to change. So it's important for you to fill out these cards, please, and bring them back here tonight. Just like this, where the last service you will be part of on this earth, believe God that his word is true and that we are going to see what we believe for. It's important that you put them down on here. Now, I know you might have 10 or 15 that you could put on here. I understand that, but this is just the beginning. This is the seed that we're talking about. Faith is a seed. Faith believes God before it ever happens. Faith trusts him. Faith takes it and has it in substance before it comes to pass. And God wants faith here because this is Jubilee Faith Center. Everybody say it. Jubilee Faith Center. The church is built on it. It's walked in it. It's going to last in the truth of faith. And we're going to overcome by faith tonight in Jesus' name. And we're believing God for incredible things to happen. But I don't want to be a part of this service if you don't come and bring what you're believing for. Because what you're believing for is important to me. It could be a miracle of healing. It could be a financial miracle. A family in a relationship, or a family relationship will be restored. There's many things that we're believing for. God wants us to break through in what we trust Him for today. Miracles should be all around us. So please take these this morning. Did we hand them out to everybody? Everybody got one? Take them and fill them out. It's very simple, just 1, 2, 3. It would be good for you to take an extra one, too, so you can write it down and put it in your Bible and retain it and know this date when God spoke so we can have the answer by your testimony that comes. Amen? So this is important for us to be a part of it. And I know that God is going to do special things for us tonight as we lay hands on folks and just see the glory of God come into our lives. So we encourage you to be here tonight and bring someone with you. I'd like to see children here, if that's possible, because children are great, great persons of faith. Children will believe sometimes where others won't believe. They have a simple faith in God. And God wants to work through all the young people here and bring about His purpose for His presence to be revealed. So please take the cards. Will you do that? And fill them out. And just put them into our miracle chest. It's good to have a miracle chest right here at the front. Maybe that should always be a miracle chest where people can come to this place and say what they're believing for in the name of Jesus. You know, I really felt last night when God was really, really pouring over my spirit thinking about this for today, that this will become a place here where people will text in things that they're believing for. They will send emails. They'll start to hear. What causes the growth of the church is when people hear the miraculous. It's what makes the difference. And it should be very exciting for us to walk in this. And people will look to you from every place when we're walking in it by the power of God. So please take these and fill them out. Would you stand with me? We're going to take our Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Stand with me, though. We'll take the scripture here and read it as it's up on the screen here for us to read. This is what I want to talk to you about this morning, a subject that I believe is really important to the miraculous. I've been sharing all week about principles I believe that are important to the miraculous. And some of the greatest principles for us to understand is that every person's gift is important. And because God has gifted you and given something to you that no one else has, He wants to pour through you the miraculous. And He wants you to understand that you can believe, but we need to be believing for one another, not just for ourselves. So this is very important for us to understand this principle. Could you read this real loud? Everybody nod at me? Okay, we can read this real loud like we believe every word of it. Do we believe the word of the Lord?
Yes.
We do. We believe everything God says. Okay, let's read it together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as we see the day approaching. Now, Father, we ask You to give us revelation by Your Spirit tonight, today in Jesus' name, so that we can understand the very power of God in assembly, that we'll know that it's important for us to stand and be assembled together. We ask, Lord, that this church would become very, very powerful in knowing the principle of walking the walk together and being part of the particular plan that You've laid out for Jubilee Faith Center. We know in our hearts today that what You have desired for this church is still coming to pass. We know You have not changed Your mind. You don't have any other thing in place but that You have prepared for this church to be all that You want it to be. And we believe that You're putting everyone in place so that they'll trust in God for the miraculous. And we thank You, O God, for Your word. Let it abide in our hearts, and may it bring tremendous change into our spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There's a lot of things that are going on in the world today that we haven't seen before. There's signs all around us that Jesus could soon return. There's something that's speaking to us deep in our spirits. We're not a people that lay out times and dates and say we know exactly when it is. But we have this sense in our heart that we are so much closer than we've ever been to the purposes of God fulfilled in Jesus returning to the earth. The events that are taking place in Russia, the events that are taking place in Europe today, what is happening in the Ukraine, we never dreamed that we'd see this again. But there have been those that understand and know that as things begin to accumulate for God's purposes to be revealed in the Middle East, that Russia and China from the north will be a part of it. We've seen in our lifetime, just the last little while, this effort from Russia to Syria to Iraq to Iran. Everything that we hardly believed for when I was just a child, how it would ever come to pass, is before our eyes becoming such a reality. We're understanding and knowing that everyone is affected by the world. And things that happen anywhere in the world are a sign to us that something is about to happen. Something is about to change. But the only answer to the need of the world and the thing that we must rely on and trust in is Jesus and His power through the cross and resurrection, so that we will see the miracle hand of God going before us. Little did we believe we'd be in a day when we see martyrs, that their lives are taken in Iraq, in Iran, in Indonesia, in Malaysia, things that are in the news today. All these areas have been affected by people taking the lives of those that serve Jesus Christ. And this is a sign to us, because they stand faithful to the glory of God. We need to rejoice again this morning that we're in a free land, that we have a place that we can give leadership like we are this morning in faith and belief in what Jesus has done, so that the miraculous will be seen in the earth. We must know that there's not a negative thought in our mind about what is taking place in the earth, because God is in control. And Jesus is about to reign more than ever before in and through His people. But we've had to learn to be people who are faithful to what He is saying and understand the power of His purpose, even in our gathering together. The church has been so divided. People are going from place to place, moving from church to church. If I don't like this, I go somewhere else. And they never become an assembly of the people who are gifted to bring forth the glory of God in that area. I've seen that spirit change here at Jubilee. And I feel like right now that we're seeing a greater change in this church than we've ever seen in our lives, of people knowing that God has gifted them to be a part of what He is doing here. And you're going to see more of the gifts prosper as we trust the Lord together. But one of the great things, the principles that we need to see as we see all this happening around us, the amazing things are happening, like an airplane that disappears. I find that so marvelous when I think about that. All the technology of mankind, everything they've developed in today, all the satellites of space, all the equipment that they can possibly have, everything that man knows to do, they can't find an airplane. It's incredible. I've often thought in my mind, as I think the things of God, it would be awesome if some leaders of countries would just simply bow on their knees and say, God, show us where it is. God, show us where it is. I'd like to see leaders of countries ask God. You see, so often they think they're in control. All this stuff is around us, speaking to us all the time that we need to heed the word of God. This word that's here about assembly needs to be understood in the greater church. When I saw miracles through my life, being involved in ministry for 43 years, when we saw many miracles, it was because the assembly of the people was strong. People couldn't miss the presence of God. They would rush to the front seats. I actually saw people fighting to get in a front seat, asking to be as close as they can for the glory of God. That can happen in spirit here, as the spirit of worship rises and all that God is doing to bring about His plan here. It's completely in His plan for this place to be excited with the power of God, because the miraculous is taking place. And what makes it so exciting is that we know when we assemble, things are happening. And God wants us to be a part of that for His purpose, to be gathering together the way we are today. A while back, I purchased a barbecue. I always think about that in the spring season. I was talking to Brother Nick just the other day about it. I like to barbecue. And I think about this particular barbecue that I had purchased. I purchased the barbecue somewhere. It could have been Home Depot or somewhere. And the reason I purchased it, because when I looked on the box, it said, some assembly needed. Everybody say that with me. Some assembly needed. Now that, to me, what that means, you see, you got to interpret sometimes what that means. To me, what that meant was there's not a lot of assembly needed. It meant some, just a bit. So I purchased the barbecue, believing that it would be just a little bit to put together. When I opened the box with all the screws, nuts, and bolts and everything, there were over 800 pieces. And I was in the process of the job of my life in assembly. I remember after I got the silly thing put together, I said to my wife, I will never, never, never buy a barbecue like that again. And then I went alone before the Lord in the presence of the Lord. And the Lord said to me, Paul, don't ever say that again. The reason that you did not like that is because you didn't like the work. And God said in my spirit, I've made my people to do the work. The only way my plan will be accomplished is when everybody takes their place and they fulfill the purpose of God in their lifetime. This is important for us to see. There's two meanings in the dictionary to the word assembly. One is to congregate, to come together like we are today. And that's important to understand that kind of assembly for the church. But the second meaning in the dictionary for the word assembly is to put parts together, as in putting the parts together in a mechanism. To put the parts together so that it will all work. And that's the principle that I want to bring to you this morning that is really, really important that we understand when we think the thoughts of assembly, is that God wants us to put our parts in place so that every purpose of God will be brought to pass through us as we do the will of God together. We must be a people that walk in this and enjoy it all the days of our life because it's the plan of God for us. And so we need to understand that assembly is meeting like we are today, but it's more than that. It's the parts working together to the glory of God. This is God's plan for us to walk in it and enjoy it and understand the great strength and power that there is in it to be what God wants us to be. Now, in reading the scripture to you, I want to now go a little bit backward and go from verse 25 of chapter 10 back to verse 21, and then we're going to talk about verse 22, verse 23, and verse 24. I'd like you to look at verse 21 with me because this is so important for us to see this as we consider the word of the Lord together. It says here in verse 21 of Hebrews chapter 10, and having a high priest over the house of God. Would you read that with me, everybody? And having a high priest over the house of God. Everything that takes place when we become the assembly that God wants us to be is because Jesus is in all of us, bringing to pass His fullness and His purpose. You see, we have a high priest, Jesus Christ, who not only died for us, but He ascended to heaven and He sits at the right hand of the Father. He intercedes for you in every area that you're believing for. So it's important that the believer would understand how to have faith. Because the believing is important, so the intercessor will take what you're believing for to God. God will answer the intercessor more than anyone else in the entire earth. He has committed himself to respond to what Jesus asks. And Jesus is sitting in heaven today, and what he is doing is taking what you desire. And what you believe for and you trust in the depths of your heart, He takes it to God Almighty. And God Almighty cannot refuse to answer Him. God might refuse to answer someone else, but He will not refuse to answer Jesus. Because Jesus is the intercessor that stands faithful in the presence of God and takes everything that we need to God. That's why it's important for believers to stir up the principles of faith in their heart and be believing that God is going to do something. I believe that that's what's taking place since Friday night here at this church. If you'll believe with me and understand that He's literally doing this. We have been for 3 days talking about believing for what we're going to trust God for tonight. And we've been putting it deep into our hearts. God has been speaking to us about what He wants us to trust Him for. And we've said we'll believe you by writing it down on the card and saying, God, you're the God that's going to bring this to pass. I'm just telling you, friends, you need to grab this deep in your heart that Jesus, when he hears this kind of faith, like this weekend, he hears it so clearly. And he says, I hear that. I hear what Pastor Bob is believing for. And Jesus is literally excited about it. And he runs into the throne room of God. And he says, God, my boy Bob. Say that, everybody. My boy Bob is down there believing for this. And God will do what you're believing for. That's extremely important for us to understand it. The intercessor takes faith to God. And he's taking faith to God right here this weekend. That's why we must be a part of it and enjoy it in our hearts and walk in it so that God will fulfill his purpose and his plan in us together. It's very important that we understand it starts from the intercessor. So it goes from that in verse 21. And having a high priest over the house of God, God tells us three things that we need to do while we assemble together. And this is important for us to see. I want you to see it in verse 22. Verse 23 and verse 24. All three verses start with the words, let us. Let everybody say that. Let us. It does not say let me. It says let us. The principle of breakthrough that God wants us to understand is that we together are a people of faith. And when we walk in faith, believing for what God has put in our heart and what he's put in the heart for all of us together, God is in the business of doing the miraculous. So we together must understand this. It is always let us. And that's what we're doing when we come together to worship. When we respond to assembly like we are today and know that God has assembled us together, we're responding as one voice. So it says in verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. The two ways, my friends, that we draw near to God in our assembly together are in worship and prayer. That's why the Holy Spirit is moving in this place in worship. Because he's wanting you to understand the power of it when you respond to God together. There's absolutely an anointing that fills the house. I sensed the anointing last night. I sensed it again today. I believe that we're going to see it tonight in our worship. And as we put our trust and faith in God, things are about to change for the glory of God. The way we draw nigh to God with a pure conscience is when we worship him and come before him in prayer. I happen to believe, and I'm thinking it's true, that the reason God is touching the church here again is because people have decided to pray. And one of the things I've always been concerned about when worship is touching the church, that often we get caught up in the one without the other. So we begin to worship and forget to seek God in prayer. I want to challenge you in Jubilee, if God has put that spirit in you, that you'll always be in the prayer time, standing before God and putting a covering over what he is doing because he's preparing the place for miracles. Worship and prayer are the key to the glory of God in his house. And we must be willing to do it together. The last time that I had gone to India, it's just a little over 8 months ago or so. I had been in India doing some work with pastors and the great things were done. And I had the opportunity of going to the shore somewhere on the western side of India. I'll never forget the drive. It was absolutely incredible. I was in a taxi and the taxi driver took me by night on one of those Indian roads. It's absolutely amazing. You take your life into your hands. There were goats and dogs and horses and everything that you could imagine. Cows. More cows than you could imagine all over the road. And he was swerving back and forth and around and passing this and that and everything else. And I actually put my seat back. I took the lever, I pushed my seat back, and I said, Jesus, I'm going to close my eyes and sleep. You'll protect me. And I got to where I was going. But on the way, we came by an idol. An idol that was literally hundreds of feet tall. This building would be about 30, 35, 30, I don't even know if it is 30 feet. 20 feet? This idol was over 150 feet tall, so you can imagine the height of it. It was sitting on the top of a mountain. Literally, the mountain was smaller than the idol. This large idol for worship. It was absolutely massive. So the taxi driver stopped and he said, "Most tourists like to see this." So I said, "Okay, we'll stop and take a look at this thing." And so I got out of the car and I started to walk up these steps that took you up to the top, or where you get close to the idol. Just hundreds of steps that went up before it, going up the side of the mountain. And as I was walking up toward the top, I got near the top, and a security guard stopped me. And he said, "From this point on, you must take your shoes off when you've come to worship." You know what was going through Pastor Paul's mind. All of a sudden, I was brought into reality. This has nothing to do with me here to worship. I worship with God's people. I worship with those who understand the true God and the power of His sent Son to redeem the world. And so I stood there that day, and maybe others could have taken off their shoes. I've taken off my shoes sometimes, but that particular moment I didn't. Because God was so revealing to me the power of unified worship and the great strength that there was in the people of God. And I actually began to see the meetings that I was about to take place in, where the people of God were really going to worship together the living God and exalt Him for who He was. I came down from there, didn't take my shoes off, came down from there. I asked for the taxi driver to drive me around. I wouldn't even take a picture of the idol from the front. I took a picture of it from the back. And because I wanted some folks to see how big this thing was. And people were there by the hundreds wanting to worship an idol. And I understood and knew that the strength of what God has given us is to worship and praise together. This is why when people will pray and worship together, things start to happen. And God is doing that here. I was excited this morning when everybody was entering into praise with your whole heart. But it's going to come stronger and stronger and stronger. That's the reason that we are assembled together. God puts the parts together who have a real heart to worship and praise. And we are here to be a part of that today. So we draw nigh to God through worship and prayer. That's number one. Let us draw nigh to God. Number two is found in verse 23, where it says this: "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful." Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. The second point I want to bring to you this morning is that the reason for us drawing together is that we will have hope and faith. I want you to see very clearly today that hope is hope and faith is faith. But hope is not faith. Hope can be very up and down. You can see and believe things that God is saying. And hope is good for us. It's a biblical principle, but we must always add to it faith. Because what the Bible says here is adding to your faith belief. That you don't waver in what you believe. Hope can waver, but faith gets it. For the Bible says over in Hebrews chapter 11 that faith is the substance of hope. Faith is not hope. Faith is the substance of hope. So therefore, faith is believing you have it. Substance is something that you have in your hand. This is substance, and I know that I have it. So when you really have faith, you understand that you've got it. It's in your hand. You're believing what you're asking for. This is what God is doing this weekend in teaching us how to write down what we believe. Because when we write it down, we more are saying we've got it. We believe it and we stand in it. This is important for us to see because it is substance and evidence. You find in a court case, it's very difficult sometimes for them to prove things that are happening because of circumstantial evidence. But when you have the evidence in your hand, it makes all the difference. There's nothing you can do about it. It is decided. And God wants us to understand that faith is a reality. And that's why we are called to believe what God says to us. So what God says to you about that miracle on that sheet, we believe it this morning in the depths of our hearts.
And we know that God is going to bring that to pass. God wants to put that again into many of your spirits by his grace so that you walk in the truth of it. So let us, the reason we gather like we are today is to encourage our hope and faith. I sense hope all over this room today. There's faith that is rising more and more. And that's why we come in assembly and we join to be the strength that we are for the glory of God. Thank you, Jesus. And God will encourage us. He encourages us today by our coming together. That's what it is to have hope and faith when we come together. Encouragement goes from one to the other. And we constantly build ourselves up in the Lord. You ever heard of the screaming eagles? Any of you heard of screaming eagles? Sometimes sports teams are called screaming eagles. Screaming eagles are really, it's a real truth. You see, the eagle goes through a molting stage. When he will lose all his feathers and he cannot fly. So the eagle loses his feathers, cannot fly. And the only way he can keep his life is by trying to scratch in the ground right around where he is, because he can't fly or get to places where he can have food supply. So he literally scratches his claws off, looking, trying to find something to sustain him in life. He will actually take his beak and be picking away at the earth, at rocks, at anything that he can find, and wear his beak off till he comes to the place he looks like a mess. He goes through everything that you can imagine. They actually say that some of the eagles will die. But this is when the other more mature eagles, this is why you need fathers and mothers and strong people in the church. When the mature eagles see this taking place, they will fly over top of the molting eagles and they will scream encouragement to the eagles that are sitting there without feathers, looking like a total disaster. And that's why the church needs encouragement. God wants to encourage you this week more than ever before that what you're believing for is possible. And that's why we assemble ourselves together like we are, so that we build one another up and we bring encouragement in the depths of our spirit to believe God for the impossible. Everything that God is saying to you, he wants to do by his spirit. So number two, together we have hope and faith. Amen. So firstly, we worship and we pray. And number two, we have hope and faith. The third point is here in verse 24. Look at it again. It starts with, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. God wants us to be a people that stir up love and good works. This is why this week we're laughing about it and making a little bit of fun about it. But God is literally trying to say we love someone, we really mean it. We really mean it. Turn to the person next to you and say, I love you and I really mean it. It's filling this church. This church is filled with the love of God. It's filled with the love of God. I can't stop saying that I love people, because I really do. Love is important. Love is the key. It's extremely important. And the Bible says, let us love one another. This is why the assembly takes place. This is why the gifts need to be bound together. This is why we need to be committed where God has called us, because God uses our life in faith. The world is looking for love. The world is looking for the church to say, I don't condemn you, I love you. Come here. Be a part of what I am doing. I'm reaching out to you because I love you through my people. But we can't love the world unless we love one another. So the third thought is God wants us to love, but also not only to love, he wants us to work. Everybody say that. Work. The work of God will never be established unless people do the work. You have to have people that care for the kids, care for the young people, care for those that are meeting in homes, care for the outcasts. Drive buses like this pastor here this morning. That touched my heart again, Pastor Ralph, when I saw you drive into the parking lot. Because the love of God constrains you to touch someone and care. But it's not just saying it. Someone has to do it. Isn't it great to have a pastor that would go and do it? I'm sure someone else might have a bus driver's license, but anyway, not yet. Anyway, it's amazing. It takes a people who are willing to do it. It's working, is it? Okay, that's great. God wants us to love and do the work. Now, people who are not bound together with their gifts won't do the work. They come to church for an hour and a half on Sunday morning because they want to get, and go. Get and go. Feel good and go. But what God wants is people who will understand they're a vibrant part of what God wants to do, and they tie their gift with others to bring about the purpose of God. That's real assembly. Assembly is when the parts come together for the glory of God. God begins to put us together. It's important that we're drawn together by the spirit of love, but we're also willing to do it. God wants to make the point that he wants us to do the work. And this is where the spirit of God is working, right now in the church. So we'll be a people that will respond together by his grace. Let us worship and pray. Let us be careful to do it. Let us have faith and hope, or hope and faith. And let us be a people who love and do the work. Draw together for the glory of God. City of Toronto, where I'm from now, we have 220 cultures in the city. People have come from 220 nations. This is a design of God for the nation of Canada. There's some in the city that are in the church, they would like to forget about it. Say, God and his work, his church, is all about me, myself, and my family. And yet God wants us to understand that he wants us to touch the world. Can you imagine this? He has brought the world to us so the glory of God will come. And God is about to do something as we believe him. But what I've learned to understand that we need to have people that get involved in doing it. Being a pastor of pastors, I went to a church the other day where I saw the people of God doing it. They actually didn't have a building as yet, and they've been there for 15 years. They've moved four times. And the way the people would work together was absolutely amazing in my mind. When entered the building, there were hundreds of people sitting there together. Actually, when they began to worship, they were worshiping in a center where there was another church. And the other church had loudspeakers that were going louder than theirs. It was incredible. And yet, I sensed the people doing what needed to be done so that the presence of Jesus was all over the place. They actually brought meals after the service so people could be a part of what was happening. And people were receiving from what they were doing because they were not only saying it, they were doing it. And the love of God was filling their lives. And things were being done for God everywhere. So the assembly, the way God wants us to bring us together is for us all to use our lives to get this great thing done. Now something is happening here at Jubilee. And God is teaching us to walk in that by his power. Amen. So we worship together. We praise together. We have hope together. We have faith together. We love together. And everybody say this, we work together. And in that, the miracle power of God comes. We've been working together this weekend. That's why I like conventions and celebrations like this, because God has been working in us and we've been doing the work. And we're trusting him here more than ever before. And we're understanding that the miracles are about to take place because God wants to touch everybody by his presence and anoint us for his purpose in this place. Elaine and I had gone to my wife Elaine, Pastor Elaine, we had gone to Israel for the first time in our lives just a year ago, February. And when we were in Israel, we saw a lot of things. We went right around the whole country, and I was just amazed at sensing the power of the Word of God everywhere I went. But the most exciting part of it was to come back to the city of Jerusalem and actually have the opportunity of going into the tunnels that are underground around the walls of Jerusalem. This was amazing to me to walk in the tunnels. I never really realized that they were there to that extent. Wealthy Jewish people are spending literally billions of dollars to excavate all around Jerusalem. And the more they go, the more it proves the word of God. Everything that you see is found in the word of the Lord. And the thing that touched me about this when I saw this around underground, the walls of Jerusalem, is the way that they were built. They were absolutely awesome in size.
But they're all built with different sized blocks or stones. You wouldn't find two stones that were exactly the same. Amazing. Some would be 6 feet long. Some could be 5 feet long. Some could be 3 feet long. There were some that were 2 feet or a foot. And actually some that were 30 or 40 feet long. It was amazing. All these different stones are put into place to make the strong, one of the strongest walls of the world. That has lasted all these years, and it's underground. The walls of Jerusalem. Just an amazing thing to see it. And I was captivated by how this is all done. How would they even get these stones into place in their day? To take a 40 foot or 30 foot stone, you know, that could be 6 feet high and place it in the wall. It had to be almost miraculous how they get it done. I'm sure they had some ways that they would lift it. But nevertheless, it was a tremendous structure. But the thing that really spoke to me when I looked at the writing that was there that explained the walls to us, that they actually explained to us that these stones were made in the quarry outside the city. So they're made in the quarry outside the city. They're not even made close by. And the stone master takes the craftsman, he takes his chisel, and he designed every stone in the quarry before it ever got to the city. And every one was formed in its perfection. So that when they brought the stones together to build the walls, everyone would fit together perfectly. It's an amazing thing when you saw this. So every stone was made in perfection outside the city. This I want you to understand this morning. Jesus Christ died outside of the city. His blood was shed for us at the cross outside the city. And out there, he made us in perfection. So we are made by Jesus perfect. That's what we need to shout about this morning. We've been singing about it, and it's awesome. It's awesome to know that we've been made perfect. Sin is dealt with. It's broken. It's taken out of our lives. Everything is made perfect by the power of Jesus. But let me say to you this morning, that's not the church. The church forms when the stones are brought together. When one stone begins to rub on the other, we are fitted together by the grace of God for God's plan to come to pass. That's exactly what God is doing here. It's causing us to know that we fit together in our gifts and we don't have one person that is the same as the other. And God has been speaking to us about our gifting and helping us to understand that all we need to be is the gift of our size. We just need to be what God made us to be, and we're going to see God's presence fulfilled. That's why we need to believe him today, that he's speaking to us in our gifting about miracles that are in our lives. And tonight we're going to believe for them together. We're going to believe that God is going to break every yoke, and he's going to do what he said he would do by his power. And he wants us to know how important it is for us to walk together in this. Let us assemble. And assembly means two being put together as parts of a mechanism. And this morning, we are doing that as we worship and pray, as we have hope and faith, and as we love and we work for the glory of God. Would you stand with me, everybody? I would like the worship team to come again this morning. I just feel we need to sing one song here before. Shout to the Lord, John, that you were singing there this morning. And God wants us to shout our praises to God in the spirit of agreement, knowing that we are standing together for his purpose. And we're going to see his plan come. Would you join your hands together before we sing? And we just want to pray together that God will speak to us everything that he wants to speak. Now, Father, we believe that your plan is being worked in us through faith to believe you for what you're saying. And, Father, you have put thoughts in our minds about what are the greatest things of miracle power that we need to see in our lives. Some people here need miracles of healing, need miracles of deliverance. There's some marriages that need healing. There's families that need to come back together. There's children that are astray, and you're bringing them back by your power. Some people need a financial breakthrough. They need a supernatural event that will cause the thing to change for where you have spoken to them. Now, Father, you've been speaking to every one of us, and we sense the power of agreement in us. We are learning that we are standing together, not only believing for me, but I'm believing for all of us that we will see the miracle hand of God come and his great name glorified. Thank you, Father, for your presence. And we declare your name in this today. Thank you that we can stand together and we can believe you for the miraculous. In Jesus' name, we give you praise.